Amen and amen. It is good to see everybody here this morning. If you weren't here for the sunrise service, my fingers were so cold, they're still recovering. But we had a great time, and we had a great breakfast and time of fellowship afterwards. I really wanted to come in and take a nap between the two services, but man, what a blessing. It was so beautiful. It was cold, but the sun was rising. We actually got to call it a sunrise service. We saw the sun rising up, and while we were thinking about being at the tomb, and we read the scripture, so that's where we're going to be this morning. Matthew chapter 28, if you want to get there. You want to find that in your Bible. We'll have most of the scripture on the screen, Lord willing, if everything works. You know how it is with technology. It works except for when you need it, right? And we've gotten used to that. The Lord has grown us through that when we've been upgrading our online ministry and stuff like that. But I want to start out with saying this. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. I even put on a necktie for Easter today. Over the last few weeks, as you're looking for that, we've saw all the little but yet big details of Jesus' arrest, right? We've seen his mistreatment, his death, his burial. All of those little but big details had great significance for us. So today, the significance that I really, the detail that I want, it's on my heart, and you might have already kind of, you know, thought about it when I was praying or whatever, when we were having that time of prayer, but the title of the message is this: Witness the Resurrection. Witness the Resurrection. That's my hope for us today, is that we would have that firsthand knowledge and say, yeah, I know the resurrection happened because I've had it happen in my life. Last week specifically, we saw how Jesus' death should stir us to become bold. That guy Joseph, he was a secret disciple, and we saw that, you know what, sometimes when we really ponder and we really see and we think about the cross and what Jesus did on the cross for us, it should stir us into action and to be bold for him. Well, today, just like I mentioned last week, I didn't plan on being in this part of Matthew today. I did not plan it this far ahead. Obviously, I would have preached on the resurrection today, but we've been going through the book of Matthew for 3.5 years, okay, which is crazy, but it doesn't seem like that to me. It might seem like 10.5 years for you. I don't know. But for me, it's just crazy how that happens and how rich God's word is. But I did not plan for us to end up here on Easter, and so I give God all the glory for that. So as we've been preaching through this book of Matthew, specifically, verse by verse, we find ourselves today on Easter reading about the triumphant resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So right here in these first 15 verses that we're going to be, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15 is where we're going to be. We're going to see some very important things and events that happen, just like we've seen around all the other things that happen, that we're going to try to point out and maybe relate to us and see what we need to receive today in these first 15 verses. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to read that. It says this: Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, it's my favorite time of the day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Amen? Amen. Just as he said would happen. We're going to talk about that. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, when you see him there, remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers and leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priest what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, will stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. Yeah, right. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and it is still is what they tell today. Let's pray. Father, we love you again this morning, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the power in your word. When we just read it and we apply it to our lives, Lord, we talked about it, finding ourselves in the word. Lord, we need to find ourselves daily into your word, but we also need to look in the scriptures. When we read the Bible and we read your scriptures and we say, who am I in this story? So Lord, I pray this morning that we would find ourselves in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've shared with somebody this week, just to kind of start out and give you where my heart is this morning, the struggles that the Lord has helped me overcome as a minister. All right, so the end of this month will be 5 years that I've got to be the pastor here at this church, which again, it seems like it just flies by. It doesn't even seem like it's been 5 years. But one of my biggest struggles that the Lord has helped me and grown me in my life is I used to struggle with wanting to preach something new. Right? I wanted to preach. Every preacher, you know, you want to give you something, a new angle on something, right? I want to be the one to be able to tell you something new, not just something you've heard before. Maybe on Easter or Christmas, I would beat myself up and wear myself out trying to find a new angle on something that's been preached for thousands of years by thousands of people. But as we've been going through the Bible so far since I've been here in the 5 years, we've been through Ephesians, we've been through James. Now we're almost done with Matthew, and we've looked in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. As we've been just preaching through what people have preached about for thousands of years, we've seen God grow the church. Amen? Why is that? And that's not the only reason the church is growing. The church growing the church and inviting people and loving people, all these things, and God working and all these things, but preaching the word is a very specific part of that. Why is that? It's because we all want truth. Whether we admit it or not, we're all seeking for truth. We want truth. We want to know what the truth is. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what the truth is over and over and over again. If you don't believe that, ask a married man if he needs to be reminded. That's a joke. Y'all got to come on this morning. Sometimes my wife has to remind me over and over again what I was supposed to do or what I was supposed to go or maybe what I was supposed to get done or whatever. Maybe even her birthday or her anniversary, right? Amen. So today what I'm going to do, if you allow me, I'm just going to remind you the truth of a resurrected King, of a resurrected Jesus Christ. Can I do that this morning? Do I have your permission to do that? I'm going to do it either way, so that's fine. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 1. We're going to go through this. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Now, there's two things that I want to point out real quick before we go any further, and this isn't the meat and potatoes of the message, but this is what was on my heart. Number one was this, the time of the resurrection. Right, I told you, this is my favorite time of the day. I love getting up early in the morning and watching the day start. Now, I don't normally like to be in a necktie and be out at the church. I like to be in my sweatpants and my cup of coffee that time of morning. But it's my favorite time of morning. I love the new day coming together. But more specifically, Jesus had risen from the tomb after the Sabbath was over. Okay, so what does this mean? This tells us that it was actually on the third day after his death, just as he said would happen. Right? But it also gives us a little history on why we gather on Sundays as Christians. I didn't realize that. I've even had people ask me that, like, well, why shouldn't we worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday? And I've had people ask me that, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think God really cares as long as we gather and we worship. And that's my doctrine on that, and under the New Testament and being the New Testament church. But after the resurrection, the early Christians broke that tradition of worshiping on the Sabbath or on a Saturday. And they began worshiping on Sunday, and they wanted to worship because it was the day of their Lord's resurrection. So that makes sense, doesn't it? I read that this week, and I thought that was kind of cool. The second thing we need to note is this. The first witnesses of the resurrection. Now, several things jumped out at me about this this week, and it was this. The first witnesses were these women. Remember, we talked about their love and their faithfulness for Jesus the last couple of weeks. But these women were there watching and looking at the tomb. All right. Remember, all the men had run off. They had left. They were scared. But these faithful two women, they were just there. And they were waiting and they were watching. If you remember last week, we talked about these women. They were watching. They were sitting there just thinking and trying to really understand the greatness of all the things that they had seen happen. And maybe the horrible things they had seen happen in his death. But remember, they had seen all the things that surrounded the cross. The earthquake and the temple curtain in the temple being torn. If I can get my tongue to work today. They'd seen all these great things and they were just there pondering on the greatness of the Lord. See, the church, this is where we prepare our hearts to receive the truth. So before we go any further, let's just be still for a minute. Be still for a minute. If you need to close your eyes and just be still for a second. Psalm 46:10 says this: "Be still and know that I am God." Are our hearts ready to receive the truth of the resurrection? Look with me at verse 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to read them again, back in Matthew 28. "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it." I told Jenny last night, I was reading over this, and I said, I always picture the angel just sitting up there. This is not scriptural, okay? This is just what I picture in my mind. He's sitting on the stone with a toothpick just picking his teeth or something. Like, that's the way I picture him. Like, it was nothing for him to roll that stone out the way. He's just sitting up there chilling. All right? So this is what I picture in my mind. This angel's just sitting there. It was no effort at all. He's just sitting up on top of the stone. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Here we see these miraculous events that surround the resurrection. Four things that happened that we need to highlight that happened in this event is, number one is the earthquake. Remember, we talked about the earthquake, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God's own and only Son, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, was put to death. Of course, all nature is going to be affected, right? Well, why would it be any different with his resurrection? So we see this great earthquake again. Number two, we see this great stone rolled away. Now, this stone was heavy. So heavy we can't even really imagine. It was sealed by concrete, plus it was guarded by these Roman guards, these Roman soldiers. But what jumped out at me is just, and I love how the Lord lines it up, just this last week I pulled in a truck to inspect it. And it was a flatbed, full-size tractor and trailer with one brick, like big square stone right in the middle of it with a bunch of chains and everything holding it down. And it was probably twice the size of this communion table that these flowers are on. Just one stone. And I asked the driver, I said, "How much does that weigh?" And he said, "Around 46,000 pounds. All right, so do the math on that and how many tons that is. So imagine a stone that could roll in front of a door to a tomb. It was probably 30 to 40,000 pounds. All right, this thing was heavy. But this is what we need to understand this morning. This rock wasn't rolled away so Christ could get out of that tomb. All right, somebody needs to receive that today. Christ did not need that stone to be rolled out of the way so he could get out of there. Instead, the angel rolled it out of the way so we could go in and witness the truth of the resurrection. He was already gone. You see, we serve a king who doesn't need stuff moved out of his way. He can walk through the walls. He's a spirit. God is spirit. He is everywhere. He is present everywhere we go. And the resurrected Jesus wasn't just a man. He was the Messiah, resurrected from the grave, with all authority. Number three, the third thing out of the four things that I want to point out of these couple verses is this. There was this angel sitting on the stone. I already talked about what I envisioned him doing, okay? But here's this angel of God. And what these angels, and a lot of times we picture an angel, right, of you know, I've even seen it on, like, you know, stickers on the back of cars and stuff, like, "Fly high, my loved one is an angel." But that's really not biblical, okay? Angels are created specifically, and you can go through the Bible and read about that, but the angels are servants of God. They have been with God since the very beginning. He created them just to serve them, just to serve him. An angel who was created solely for serving God, rolling this stone away as an act of ministry to God's people so they could see the truth of the resurrection. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says this: "Therefore, angels are only servants." You know, I heard a sermon on angels one time, and it said, really, you don't want to be an angel. Because they're servants all the time. So, like, we're really higher than angels when we are, when we receive our new bodies and we enter into heaven. Man, we're even better off than the angels. "Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." See, this angel was there to care for the witnesses. But his appearance was dazzling. His face was bright as lightning. His clothes were white as snow. Can you imagine? Anybody would be struck with fear if they saw that. And they came into the power and the greatness of God and one of his servants. And this leads right into the last thing that I want to note about this before we move on. The guards were terrified. They were scared to death. The guards had just witnessed this earthquake. They had witnessed all this stuff. Now they see this heavenly being, this angel sitting on top of the stone. You see, they were ready to fight a few fishermen. Right? They were prepared. They said, if those disciples come and they try to steal the body, we're ready for them. But they were totally unprepared to fight against the power of God. These guards, these soldiers, they were trained men of war. They were known for being fearless in battle. Yet in the presence of just God's messengers, they shook in fear and they fainted. Think about that, church. What a lesson for us to receive today. Why do we fear? Right? Why would we ever fear? Why would we ever doubt the power of God? Why would we fear anybody, what they think of us, what they could even do to our mortal body? Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Amen? Somebody needs to receive that today. Look with me at verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, Matthew 28. We're going to keep going. It says this. The angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body is lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. I love that. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Here in this encounter with these women, there's a whole other sermon. So I'm going to give you a whole other sermon on top of this one. But I love it. This is just what jumped out at me this week. There's this encounter that these women had with this angel. There's a whole other message. So I'm going to give you a really quick message inside of the message today. We can do that. Here's the quick things that we need to receive today. Number one is this. It says, do not fear. Do not fear. There should be no fear in a believer's life. You see, here are several reasons in this scripture, but there are several reasons that I'm just going to point out to you that we should not fear. We should never fear when we're seeking the resurrected Christ. Right? If you're here today and you need to seek a Savior, there is no reason to fear seeking after God in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's one reason. God already knows your heart. He created you. He designed you. He knows your heart. And he promises that those who seek will find. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says this. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking. And you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. There was no limitations on that. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So there's one reason not to fear seeking Christ. Here's another reason. Christ gave his life for you on the cross. All right, If Christ didn't love you and Christ didn't want you and he didn't want you to be his follower and for you to accept him as a Lord and Savior and for him to give you a rich and satisfying life, he would have not gave his life on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I remember being utterly helpless before I gave my life to Christ. And last but not least, here's another reason for us that we're going to talk about. There's probably many more. Christ is now risen from the dead and he has conquered the grave. Why in the world would we fear anything, fear a relationship with God or what it might cost us or what we might think that we have to do to obtain it? Why? If Christ has conquered death. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Church, do not fear If you are a believer, there's no reason for you to fear going and doing what God has called you to do if he's put a calling on your life. I'm telling you, there's no reason to fear. It doesn't matter whether it's going to the ends of the earth or going right next door or stepping into some new ministry. If God has put that call in your heart, he's going to see it through, and there's no reason to fear. Paul said, I pray that you would understand the greatness of God's power. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for you. Do not fear. The second thing we need to receive in this few verses is this. The angel said, come and see. Come and see. You see, just like I've told you that I'm learning about preaching, just like I'm learning about that I don't have to preach anything new or anything like that, the angel simply reminded these ladies of what Jesus had promised them. Now, the angel reminded them of the Lord's promise, but he also gave them this invitation, right? Come on in and see. Come on in and see. Church, let me remind us all on this Easter morning that we have a personal obligation, right? That we each have to personally become a witness to the Lord's death. We each have to personally witness and believe, and it has to be true in our life and true in our hearts, that Jesus died for you personally and rose from the grave personally, so you too could receive eternal life personally. There has to be a point in my life. There has to be a point in your life when we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that word believe, we've talked about it before. Pastor Will's talked about it. It means commit. All right, so if you're going to commit to something, you got to believe in it. And when we do this through the power of God's Spirit, we're baptized to show that the old you is dead and gone, buried with Christ, and the new is risen and in life. You're showing the world, I used to be one way. I'm not just better. I'm brand new. I've been risen with Christ. And then what we're supposed to do is we go tell others. That's exactly the third thing that we need to note in this little short sermon inside the sermon. Number three is this. He said, go quickly. He didn't say, wait till you know the whole Bible. He didn't say, wait until you don't have any sin in your life. He said, go quickly, right now. God put him to work right there and said, go quickly and tell the others what you've seen. Tell them the glorious news. Here's something we need to remember. If these women were like me, and how I so often are, if they're like most Christians and most church members here today, not here, but I'm just saying in the country, and it's alive in this place today, you know what they would have done? They would have known that they should go out and do it, but instead they would be so busy that they would say, I'll get to that one day. Right now I've got my plans. Right now I'm trying to secure my retirement, right? Right now I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to build my house. I'm trying to do that. I'll go do what God wants me to do later in life or whatever it is, or maybe I just don't feel like I can commit to that yet. You want to know what God wants from us? It's one word. If you came here today and you're like, I know, I really don't know what God wants. I want to tell you what God wants from you. It's obedience. What do you want from your children? Right? You want them to be obedient to you, to listen to your instructions because you know best for them. God wants you to be obedient to him. Now, he's not like in a slave driver way, right? If I don't care if God calls you to go build the wall of China back in some other country. If that's the calling that he has for your life, and he says, I want you to do it all by yourself, every brick, I want you to carry it up the hill, and I want you to put it in place. There is no better place and no better fulfillment than you will ever find in earth than to go and say, yes, God, I'll go do that. And you go pick up a stone and you start working. You know what he's going to do? He's going to make it seem 5 years will fly by just like that. After we just obey that tugging in our heart, if we would just obey the Holy Spirit, we would really encounter the resurrected Christ Jesus. That's where we find the new us. That's where we see it becomes real to us when we obey God. We could be used to tell others the glorious news. These ladies obeyed and they got to be witnesses for the resurrection. Think about that. What a great privilege. And they're recorded and we're still talking about them today. And the word of God stands forever. So we're going to be talking about them for all eternity. Look with me at verses 9 and 10 as we continue. Matthew 28, 9 and 10, it says this. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Here's the whole reason that we celebrate Easter right here. In these two verses, right here, we see it. This is the very core of our Christian faith and the assurance that we have serving Christ and worshiping Christ. as we look at these women and the encounter that they had with the risen Jesus Christ, this same glorious encounter with the risen Christ is what each person here today, each person that's listening online, each person that's ever heard about the gospel has the opportunity to encounter. So often we think, man, wouldn't it have been cool if we could have been there and seen all these things? But see, I believe, and what I'm seeing in my life when I simply obey God, and I don't do it all the time, but when I get it right and I do, I'm finding this. The same pattern seen with this encounter should take place in my life. It should take place in your life if we're seeking after Jesus Christ to be our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. Number one is this, that we need to note, is this. Jesus greeted them. He greeted them. It is my duty to tell you this morning, but it's also my pleasure to remind you that Jesus will greet you today if you seek after him with your heart. He will greet you today. He's not going to condemn you, right? We read John 3:16 all the time, but if you go to verse 17, it says, God didn't send him into the world to condemn you, but to save you. He will greet you today. Matthew 11:28 says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Number two, the women, they worshiped Jesus. What did it say? It said they didn't have to do any certain ritual, or they didn't have to join a certain denomination or anything like that. They simply grasped his feet. Can you imagine when we get into heaven, when we see Jesus, when we see the glorious Jesus sitting at the right hand of God? I always say that. Like, I don't even know. I would probably just fall at his feet and just worship him. And that's exactly what these ladies did. They just fell. They just fell at his feet. They showed their love for Jesus and they clung to him. They didn't see Jesus and they didn't have to come to him asking them, and they didn't come to him and say, Jesus, would you bless me? God, would you give me this? Or would you give me this job? Or would you do that? Nope. He was their blessing, right? I love that song. I think it's by Casting Crowns. He says, he's talking about the modern church, and it's kind of a song of rebuke. And he says, we want our blessings in our pockets, right? But see, these women, they didn't come asking for anything. Jesus was their blessing. You see, to have Christ Jesus as their Lord and their Master is all a real Christ follower needs. I read this week, just following along with the read through the Bible and the plan that we're doing as read through the Bible in a year. I read it just this week and it fit right in. Psalm 16, verse 5, it says this, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. You see, God, what other blessing could we want? What other blessing could we ask for? It all has to start right there. Number three, Jesus told him not to be afraid. Here we see it again. The angel told him not to be afraid, but Jesus himself says, don't be afraid. Because once we belong to Christ, once we make Jesus Christ our Lord and our Master, we have nothing to fear. If we serve an eternal King who defeated the grave, why in the world would we be scared of anything? We should become bold. We should become powerful. We should be filled with love. We should be self-disciplined. We should have no excuses for not being any of the things above, right? To be bold for Christ, to be powerful, to be filled with his love, and to go display his love to the world, to be filled with self-discipline and not get tangled up back in the world. And we just say, no, God, I'm going to follow you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul was writing to the younger minister, and he was telling the same thing. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God's given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And this leads right into the fourth part of the pattern that we see here. Jesus wants us to go and tell others. You see, so often we think that our salvation, we think about the cross, and we think about the Holy Spirit, our helper, the advocate. We think about that, it's all about us, which it is at first, right? It is at first, but once we encounter Christ, once we experience the power and the love of God working in our life and forgiving us and setting us free and making us a new creation, once we have the helper and the advocate, God didn't give you the Holy Spirit to help you get up and come to church on Sunday mornings, all right? I want to break that to you. He gave you the advocate and the Holy Spirit so you could go out and be his witnesses to the world. We're to use those things to motivate and empower us to go and share our testimony. All you got to do is share your story with others that are around you. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, and then he told them, this is Jesus talking, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. We're sending a team to Honduras this coming up week. What a blessing to have a church that's sending people. Now, we send people local. We'll send you wherever. If somebody has somewhere they want to go, this church, I've never seen a church more mission-minded than Fork Union Baptist Church. I've never been a part of one. When somebody says, God is calling me to go somewhere, we pull together and we send them. Praise God. But see, once we've been greeted by Jesus, all you got to do is just say, I'm just here to worship you. I don't have anything else to offer you, but I can throw up my hands and sing a hallelujah. Right? And then there should be no fear. And we should just simply go and tell others. Now, I'd love to end here and leave you with that positive charge. But we got to keep going through because we're going to read and we're going to talk about every single verse in this passage. There's one more thing that we have to look at before we close. Look with me at verse 11 through 15. I'm going to read this again and then we're going to just talk briefly about it. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priest what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciple came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. There's one word that I want to talk about before we go home, before we spend time with family and we continue this Easter celebration on this day. And this word is this. It's deception. Deception. Something to remember here, okay? The same authorities that used all the kinds of deception to arrest Jesus, to falsely charge him, right? There was an illegal trial. We talked about that. They brought false charges against him, and now they're using bribery to try their best to do whatever they can do to discredit the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all they could do, is just try to use this little word called deception. So I want to close today with this reminder, maybe this warning for us today. The enemy, the great deceiver, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, is trying to deceive you this morning. I don't care if you're a strong Christ follower, if you're new, if it's your first time here, the devil wants nothing more to do than to deceive you today. Right? He's telling someone here today that Jesus, maybe he isn't really the Son of God. He's telling somebody else, so did the resurrection really happen? How do I really know that the resurrection really happened? Do you really want to believe that, Anthony? I know that preacher's been up here talking for like 35 minutes, but do you really believe all that he's saying? He's telling another person that Jesus wouldn't accept them. Yeah, that all sounds good and well, but nobody here knows what you've done. That's what he's whispering in somebody's ear right now. Nobody would understand. God wouldn't understand. He would condemn me if he would never accept me for the things that I've done. And maybe he's telling another person not to respond to the gospel. You're right there on the edge of your seat wanting to just say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. But the devil's just sitting there going, don't do it. What are people going to say? It's going to extend the church service and we want to go home and eat lunch. Oh, he'll use it. I'm telling you. The devil's trying to deceive somebody here today. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says this, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I don't tell you that the devil is prowling around wanting to deceive you today, to discourage you, or to strike fear in you. We already talked about it. Don't fear him. Just recognize it. Recognize what it is that you're hearing, that you're feeling in your heart. It's not from God. It's not from God. If it's putting any doubt in your mind of the resurrection, any doubt that Jesus would accept you just the way you are, it is the enemy, the thief, fulfilling his purpose and doing everything he can do. He couldn't do anything else, just like the religious leaders. They couldn't stop the resurrection. The devil can't stop the resurrection. He can't stop what his fate is. All he can do is just try to deceive you. You see, Satan has always attacked the truth. That's what he's done, even since the very beginning with Adam and Eve. And you know why? It's because the truth is what defeats him, and it's what sets you free. Let me say that again. The devil deceives you because he knows that truth defeats him, but it sets you free. It's because Church, Christ paid your fine. He paid my fine on the cross. He overcame death so you could too. And the devil hates it. Misery loves company. And until you obey that tug at your soul and surrender to Christ, until you seek him personally, until you fall at the feet of Jesus, until you obey the calling that God has for your life, I don't believe that you'll ever fully grasp the reason we celebrate Easter. I didn't. I can say that because I didn't for years. It might have been a day to take family pictures and be sharp and dress up and wear a new outfit, eat lots of food, maybe find some Easter eggs. But until I experienced the resurrection, I didn't really celebrate Easter. If you believe the resurrection happened, you should have no reason. There should be no reason why you shouldn't be sold out for Christ. I have no excuse for not being sold out for a risen Savior. You see, your Creator wants to use your life as a personal witness of the resurrection. He'll take all that nastiness. He'll take all that nastiness from the tomb, and he makes you white as snow. And there'll be some skeptics. There'll be some people who come out and say, well, that's Anthony Clore, and he's a pastor. But you know what? What you're doing is you're displaying the truth of the resurrection. And you just say, yeah, that used to be me. Just like Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said, yeah, but God is so rich in mercy. God is so rich in mercy that he saved me. And it's that simple, to go and tell and be a witness of the resurrection. If you're ready to receive God, if God is calling you or God is working in your heart, if you maybe today you just want to come and make him public and say, you know what, today I stand up and I say I believe in the resurrection and I'm ready to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you need prayer, whatever else, whatever it is today. As we sing this song, I'll be up here and I'll be glad to pray with you. But don't leave here today. Don't go out and do all the festivities and all those things celebrating Easter today until you have personally witnessed the resurrection of Christ in your life. Amen? Amen. Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.